Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Bonnie Simmons, and I'm very happy today to introduce our afternoon session entitled Tobacco Use and Treatment in the Oncology Setting. Our first speaker today will be Ms. Sarah Connor. Sarah Connor is a health education and behavior specialist at the UCLA School of Public Health, and she is a research manager for the UCLA Department of Urology, where she oversees a variety of urologic-related research projects ranging from prostate cancer to kidney transplantation. Please join me in welcoming Sarah Connor as she presents for us.
Okay, good afternoon. Okay, start things off. I have no relationships to disclose. So first I wanted to tell you a little bit, give you a brief overview of the statistics on bladder cancer in the United States. It's the second most common tobacco-related malignancy. It's the sixth leading cause of cancer death. The median age at diagnosis is 73, with 91% of individuals being diagnosed being 55 or older. Cigarette smoking is the number one risk factor for bladder cancer. Smoking causes more than half of bladder cancers in the United States, and smokers are three times more likely to get bladder cancer than non-smokers. Despite what is known scientifically regarding tobacco use and bladder cancer, there is a knowledge gap between established causes and risk perceptions in the general population. In review of the literature, only 25 to 36% of the general population is aware of the relationship between tobacco use and bladder cancer. Active smokers, non-whites, and those of lower socioeconomic status are less aware than their respective counterparts. Current smokers are least likely to associate tobacco use with bladder cancer compared to former or never smokers. Whether this knowledge gap persists among persons diagnosed with bladder cancer is unknown. Therefore, our study sought to characterize the knowledge of the association between tobacco use and bladder cancer in bladder cancer survivors, and to assess the impact of different sources of information on patients' beliefs regarding the cause of their bladder cancer. So after receiving IRB approval from the California Committee for the Protection of Human Subjects, the California Cancer Registry, and UCLA, we conducted a population-based cross-sectional survey of patients identified by the California Cancer Registry with newly diagnosed non-muscle invasive bladder cancer. For those of you who aren't familiar, the California Cancer Registry is a statewide cancer surveillance system operated by the California Department of Public Health that collects information on new cancer cases diagnosed in California. Eligible respondents were queried about their tobacco use, beliefs as to the cause of their bladder cancer, and the sources of information that contributed to their understanding. Participants in our survey were diagnosed with non-muscle invasive bladder cancer between 2006 and 2010. Our survey took place between 2009 and 2013, with eligible participants surveyed on average 3 years after their diagnosis. Survey items pertaining to tobacco use were derived from the California Tobacco Survey, which is a long-running survey of general population's tobacco use, behaviors, and beliefs conducted by the California Department of Health Services. We utilized a modified Dillman approach for data collection. Participants were mailed a consent form, the questionnaire, and a postage-paid return envelope. Non-responders were sent a second mailing 8 to 12 weeks after the first mailing. Follow-up telephone calls were made to the remaining non-responders. Participants were able to complete the survey in writing or by telephone. Two attempts were made to contact respondents whose questionnaires had missing items. Subjects identified by the California Cancer Registry as Spanish-speaking or of Hispanic origin were sent both English and Spanish versions of the mailed items concurrently. We achieved a 66% response rate among eligible participants. So these figures show respondents' endorsements of risk factors. On the x-axis, we see the three most commonly cited risk factors for bladder cancer by our respondents. tobacco, chemicals, and age. The y-axis is percentage by smoking status, who indicated that it was a potential risk factor in general and for their own bladder cancer. In the first figure, we see that tobacco use was most cited cause of bladder cancer in general, and active smokers were more likely to identify tobacco use as a risk factor for bladder cancer than former or never smokers. In the second figure, we see that the majority of those smoking at diagnosis did not consider tobacco use as a cause of their own bladder cancer. So where did this knowledge come from? The majority cite their urologist. This can be seen in the figure. 84% of respondents cited their urologist as the source of information regarding the cause of their bladder cancer. So on multivariable analysis, age at diagnosis, smoking status, and information source were associated with higher odds of knowledge of the association between tobacco use and bladder cancer when all other variables were held constant. Active smokers and former smokers were more aware than never smokers of the association between smoking and bladder cancer. Respondents who identified the urologist as an important source of bladder cancer information were also more likely to be aware. Active smokers had a significantly higher odds of endorsing tobacco use as the cause of their cancer compared to former smokers who quit 10 years or more prior to their diagnosis. Those who found the urologist to be a helpful source of information had higher odds of identifying tobacco use as the cause of their cancer. So our study has three main findings. First, contrary to our expectations, active smokers in our study had high cancer risk knowledge and were more aware of the association between tobacco use and bladder cancer than former and never smokers. In fact, active smokers had 6 times greater odds as never smokers of demonstrating awareness of this association. Our second main finding is that 84% of active smokers believe tobacco use caused their own bladder cancer. Consistent with theoretical models of behavioral change, motivation to change increases when survivors believe that the behavior caused the cancer. For smokers with tobacco-related cancer, endorsement of tobacco use as causal is often the impetus for a dedicated attempt to quit smoking. Whether this tendency of our active smokers to see smoking as a cause of their bladder cancer better position them to successfully quit, we discuss my colleague in the presentation following mine. Third, our data demonstrate the pivotal role of the urologist in providing information to patients with a new bladder cancer diagnosis. Urologists were the most cited source of information. Can you not hear me? Sorry.
Can you
speak
up a little bit? The
microphone
is closer. Thank you.
Sorry, is that better? Is that better? Sorry.
There you go.
Wow, you really have to stand over this. So, third, our data demonstrate the pivotal role of the urologist in providing information to patients with a new bladder cancer diagnosis. Urologists were the most cited source of bladder cancer risk information, irrespective of smoking status. Information from the urologist facilitated recognition of tobacco use as the cause of bladder cancer, and survivors with a history of tobacco use were more likely to cite smoking as the cause of their cancer when the urologist was the source of information. Okay. Well, our study does have several limitations. First, we relied on self-reported tobacco use data, which may have led to underreporting. Additionally, our cross-sectional data do not permit longitudinal assessment of knowledge accrual or use of information sources. Due to the interval of time between bladder cancer diagnosis and California cancer data readiness, our respondents were surveyed between 3 and 4 years after their diagnosis, allowing them more time for knowledge accrual than if surveyed immediately after diagnosis and greater opportunity for recall bias. While we had a favorable response rate, Hispanics and Asians were more likely to be non-respondents than whites, despite our attempts to mitigate this bias. The impact of non-response bias on our results is unclear. However, race was not significantly associated with either tobacco use knowledge or cause in multivariate analyses. Additionally, our cohort was comprised of those with non-muscle invasive bladder cancer. While this represents approximately two-thirds of incident bladder cancer diagnoses and may represent those who would receive the most benefit from behavioral modification, the knowledge and beliefs of those with invasive and metastatic disease were not represented. And lastly, awareness and causal attribution are but two of the many elements that contribute to patients' motivations to quit smoking. Despite these limitations, our results demonstrate prevalent awareness of the association between tobacco use and bladder cancer among a contemporary sample of bladder cancer survivors. Given that urologists were found to serve a vital role in providing information about bladder cancer risk, engaging urologists in tobacco cessation efforts may be an opportunity to meaningfully impact the long-term health outcomes of active smokers diagnosed with bladder cancer. So I would just like to acknowledge that our funding, our research was supported by the Tobacco-Related Disease Research Program of the University of California. Dr. Jeffrey Bassett is the PI. And I'd also like to thank the participants in our survey and the very large contingent of interviewers who spent many hours, evenings, and weekends completing the survey. Thank you.